Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck.
Like to say fuck them, and I just like to say fuck them too, because they're already starting. Hello, Nora.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad.
Yeah. So I see that, let me go right to this thing here. I see that Illinois joined the other 10 states, which makes 11 now, that the red light law for motorcycles.
Yes, I see that.
Pat Quinn signed it, legislation that looks to solve a common problem many motorcyclists face on a regular basis. The new law enables riders to proceed through a red light after at least 2 minutes have passed without change in the light. So I can see this happening now. They're parked on the opposite corner looking at it with a stopwatch.
I know.
You do a minute 59.
That's ridiculous.
Do a minute 59, you're going to get a ticket.
Yep.
You know, and when they first induced it in February of 2011, they had, like, several setbacks. Because originally he vetoed it. You know, citing that it endangered our motorists.
Right.
But both the House and the Senate overrode the veto. So.
True.
You know, it marks a victory for motorcyclists in Illinois, but not all the riders are going to be able to rejoice about it.
No, but that's our governor.
Mm. Yeah, because the only place it doesn't apply is the city of Chicago. So they also stipulated that only communities containing fewer than 2 million residents qualify. Fucked up.
It should be
a unanimous for everybody.
It should be, but unfortunately, that's never going to happen.
No. And I got a little video.
So what happens here is going to happen someplace else, and so on and so on.
Yeah. I sat through three the other day, and by the time the light changed for the other guy, I left.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I got this little video here. Let me play it.
Okay.
Florida could be number 10 if this association's campaign for the law proves to be strong this year.
Motorcycles and bicycles, for that matter, do not trip the sensors on the roads.
Scott says he has sat at lights for minutes at a time, staring at an empty road, wanting to rev his engine and go through it. But he chooses otherwise, knowing the risk he and other motorcyclists take.
By chance, he doesn't see the oncoming vehicle, and the other person certainly has a green light, so they're blowing through an intersection, and now we've got another motorcyclist down. Really fair to say that you were there for 45 seconds, so now we're opening ourselves up to another, did we run a red light or did we not?
The transportation chairman says they aren't encouraging motorcyclists to run red lights. However, because the sensors don't pick up the motorcycles, the law needs to be changed. Scott says before you change the law, you need to change the system.
If you really want to make this happen, then the technology has to be there first.
And the association says they're trying to gain support from opponents of the red light cameras, such as Senator Rene Garcia. But I spoke with Garcia tonight, and he says he would not support such a change. Live in West Palm Beach.
So, basically, everybody's for and against. So they're sitting at their light. You know?
I know.
What's the matter? You sound like you're down in the dumps.
Oh, no, I actually ate so much it made me tired. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
No, I'm fine. It was just I ate dinner, and then I had to snack on brownies and a big glass of milk, and it's like, ooh, made me tired.
Well, you know, there's a Prudential Insurance of the USA.
I'm familiar with Prudential, yes.
Yeah, me too. Well, they say that Prudential stiffs the families of suicidal veterans. Other kin, or well, I'll say kin, but they claim is
right.
Prudential and the Department of Veterans Affairs refuses to pay the life insurance benefits to families of military veterans who commit suicide due to post-traumatic stress disorder. Four families claim in federal court. So the lead plaintiff is Matt Yucker's son Michael, served in Iraq from 2005 to 2006, and received 11 medals, ribbons, and badges of honor for his service, his father says in the complaint. After Michael's return from Iraq, his parents observed a dramatic change in his personality. He was in constant physical pain, suffered memory losses, and was anxious all the time. Michael never left the war behind, and after medical treatments failed him, on August 28th, he walked through the garden, saluted his father in military fashion, placed a gun to his head, and pulled the trigger. Matthew was sold a beneficiary of the SGLI, Serviceman's Group Life Insurance Policy, of his son in the amount of $400,000. Matthew has testified under oath that while alive, Michael never received from Prudential any notice that he could convert his SGLI policy to a Veterans Group Life Insurance Policy, which I converted mine years ago. The grieving families claimed that Prudential denied benefits by claiming that late veterans did not switch their SGLI policies over to VGLI within 120 days of separation from the military. So, basically, they're trying to fuck everybody again.
Well, here we go. Okay.
Exactly.
And, I mean, the sad thing is, these guys, you included, anybody that has served, okay, is gone, put their life on the line to put freedoms here that under our flag. And for what? Because you have to wait forever to get, if you come back wounded in any manner, if you come back with PTSD, did I say it right? Post-traumatic stress disorder, sorry. Anything that you came back with, the worst part of this government that you fought so hard for to keep freedoms for the people in the states makes you wait and wait and wait and wait. Most of them come back, they don't have their jobs. Most of them come back, they've lost their homes. Most of them come back, they're suicidal. Most of them come back, they need medical attention, cannot get in the VAs because you have up to a million pieces of paperwork you have to go through, and there is a system to go through that because it's a waiting line. It can take forever and a day to get your butt into a VA. It's not like you come back and you can walk right in and say, I need this, can I get some kind of help here? It doesn't work that way. It's a long, lengthy
my
process. That is bullshit.
My appointments are usually 6 to 8 months out.
That's bullshit. I'm sorry. It is. It is not anywhere to be close to satisfactory on getting help. Okay? Now, on Tuesday's show, we talked about somebody that I saved in regards to he was in the military. He served his time.
Hold on 1 second.
I have no idea. What?
Hold on 1 second, Nora.
Okay.
I wanna. This one is. You know who this is when I open it.
Okay.
Hello, Stacy.
Hello.
Hey,
I'm Stacy.
I hope your mom's feeling better.
Oh, dude, it's been a long week, but no, she's on the mend. You know.
Mm-hmm.
She's got, like, severe osteoporosis, so her spine is, her bones are, like, mush, basically. And this is like her fifth back operation. So, and this is the last one. They can't do anything more after this. So we shall see. You know, that's about it on that front.
Yeah.
But I heard I missed an exciting show.
Yeah, did you listen to the archive?
No, I haven't had a chance to. Haven't had a chance to do much.
Okay. Well, no, you'll enjoy it when you listen to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool beans.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that was happening, and I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't know what was happening on your end. Otherwise, I would have had him give you a call.
I don't know if I even would have answered because it was exhausting, you know, a couple of days leading up to it because she had to go and get some tests done and this, that, and the other, and it was just like one thing leading to another and to another, and then the surgery came, and then, you know, it's just this waiting game. Like today she was able to get up and they got her to sit down in the chair, so she was out of bed for a little while, you know. Yesterday they stood her up, her blood pressure dropped, so they put her right back in bed. It's just one of them things, you know. Time is going to see if what they did has worked. She's got some sensation coming back in her leg, so, you know, that's a positive thing, too, because where the fracture was, it was pinning, I guess, a bunch of nerve endings, which was causing her to lose sensation in one of her legs. Yeah, so, you know, this one's going to be a slow process, but, you know, that's what they want is a good recovery, but they don't want to rush anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where it is at this moment.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a little humor here, then we're going to go back to this thing about the VA and Prudential. But I just want to give you a few very scientific facts. Number one, it takes food 7 seconds to go from mouth to stomach. Number two is one hair can carry the weight of 7 pounds. Number three, a man's penis is 3 times the length of his thumb. Number four, women blink twice more than men. Number five, human body skin is twice the weight of the brain. Number six is women already finished reading these very scientific facts. Number seven is men are still trying to precisely measure their thumb.
Yeah, and I was thinking of a few people. I'm like, I don't know if that's quite accurate on the thumb part, but...
Yeah, I don't think so. No.
Look, don't read into it. It was just a joke.
I know. But we were being honest. I'm sorry.
I know, but you'll have hard-looking thumbs.
Any guy that's listening to that automatically turns around and says, mine's is bigger than 3 thumbs.
I know.
But you'll have hard-looking at his thumbs, him and Mark.
Well, if they start looking at their thumbs, there's a sad story behind that.
Okay, never mind.
Sorry.
Let's go.
Hey.
Okay,
right.
Anyway.
And wait a minute. And you know who else? My brother's dog, Sally, she had spinal surgery, too, over the past week. She broke her little spine, their dachshunds, and he has two of them. And one of them's old and has, like, spinal problems that they deal with on a weekly basis. And this one was young. And, they thought she might come home in one of them little doggy wheelchairs, but she began movement in her back legs. So they're, like, saying she'll be 90%, you know, in the next 6 to 8 weeks. But she's got to be contained to a little box. They don't want her moving around at all.
You guys screwed up Art because he says, I know the size of each, and then he wrote each.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Go back to this thing, the members of the United States Armed Forces carry life insurance protection governed by the federal statutes. Life insurance protection is administered by a Prudential under the SGLI and VGLI programs, the complaint states. But since SGLI and VGLI insurance programs are federal programs, the United States government is the policyholder, not the insurer. The United States has contracted since 1965 with Prudential, which serves as the primary insurer administering the program. Well, I don't know, because the fucking bill comes to me. If the United States is going to pay the fucking bill, I mean, I'll change the address to, I'll send it to Obama. Fuck it, let him pay it.
Right. But that's what I'm talking about. How ridiculous is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I mean, and people wonder why the death rate is very high with military. It is.
Well, they don't give them the proper care, man. It's like, you know, when you're coming home after being in a war zone, there should be steps taken immediately, like mandated, you know, to make sure that your physical as long as your mental well-being is
right
on track with you. It should be like automatically mandatory, and it's like, you know, you got to take care of the people who took care of you, and it's bullshit that the vets get, you know, the big, you know, fuck you basically.
Oh, yeah.
Every single shot, and it's wrong.
No, and
yeah.
It's a slap in the face. It's a slap in
yep.
the face. Well, you served our country proud. Fuck you. Now you can adapt on your own back into society. That's crazy.
Anybody that led a, quote, normal type of lifestyle that, you know, didn't consist of a lot of drama and high stress, like inner city stuff, you know, you join the services and all of a sudden, you know, bam, it's from, like, BCT to AIT to bam, you're going overseas. You know, that changes a person every which way. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and sometimes, you know, you need a little bit of extra help when you come back. And it should be just a mandated thing that they, like, you know, have to go through, like, 6 months of counseling and stuff to make sure that they're okay and, you know, have a physical whatever done. But, you know, people in the government really need to step up to these guys, because you know what, they fucked up royally with Vietnam, with our vets there, and they really need to show these young kids, because this war had a lot of young people in it, as did Vietnam, and people need to just step up. We need to, like, you know, besides the you know, pop and circumstance when they all come back, it needs to be beyond the coming back, you know.
Right.
People need to, within their military organizations, I feel, need to come out to people's houses and see how things are doing. How are you? Do you need anything? You know, just sometimes a simple whatever. And that's what I truly feel, because, you know, they did us a great service. It's up to us people,
right,
in general, to take care of them, you know.
Exactly.
But that's just my interpretation of it all.
Real quick, Art wrote that Doxy's rock. He procreated for 8 weeks minimum. Okay.
All right.
So in case if you're not in
along.
The chat where you can see it now,
yeah.
The message has been passed.
All right,
okay,
hang on.
Cool.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
Hello, 877, go ahead. 760?
Yeah, no comment. We're just sitting here listening right now. So, keep talking.
Okie dokie. Hello, Todd.
Todd who, man?
Friend of mine.
Friend of yours.
But,
No.
So, he owns I-5 bail bonds in California.
Okay.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, he's like cool beans.
Yeah.
It all
so,
works.
When we need somebody, we know where to go to.
Exactly.
Yeah. But SGLI is the insurance program for active service members and members of the reserves when they are on active duty training. DGLI is the insurance program which covers veterans. The insurance premiums for SGLI are collected by the United States. Now, when I was in, mine was free. I don't know what was free. The insurance premiums for VGLI are paid directly to Prudential by its veterans. So the service members and their dependents are automatically granted SGLI while in active military service, unless the service member opts out of the coverage, which you have to be stupid to do. Upon deactivation, the insured is entitled to convert his SGLI over coverage into VGLI of equal value by submitting the first premium payment within 120 days of end of active service. So the statute controlling the programs is issue guidelines determining who is disabled for the purpose of establishing their beneficiaries are entitled to the policy benefit in cases where a service member has not timely converted his policy to a VGLI policy. So they have the U.S. Code 38, 1968, provides for continuous SGLI coverage for up to 2 years or until disability ceases, whichever occurs first. So, yeah, it just gets worse, man.
But it's so messed up. I mean, you know.
Does anybody, does anybody know how many service members have committed suicide since returning home from Iraq and Afghanistan?
Oh.
No, but I know it's,
it's very
a
high
number.
Yeah,
4,000.
4,000.
4,000 and counting.
Oh
yeah.
My God!
I mean, it's going at a rapid rate, you know, and that's what I was saying before, you know, when I was able to get that one stop. Well, that was just for that minute. Hopefully. The person won't attempt it again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But how sad is that, you know? And this is where we go back to, this is our wonderful government, slapping them in the face and saying thank you on the way back home.
Yeah.
It has to be changed. But it doesn't matter how many people stand up, how many people fight, or how many people protest families for military servicemen and women that have committed suicide, okay, they're not going to listen. They don't care. They did their job. They did their service. And then once they came back, well, it's not their problem.
No.
It is their problem. They trained them, but they can't help them when they come back.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, you know, and it's not just with what's taking place now. Even in the past, you know, I mean, my stepdad cleared a courtroom when my mother wanted to divorce him because he had his freaking, he was ready to shoot everybody in the courtroom. They had to come in with the MPs to get him.
Yeah.
He wasn't crazy because he wanted to be crazy. It's how he came back.
Right. Nobody wants to admit anything.
Exactly. And they didn't know how to fix people coming out of Vietnam.
No.
You know, I mean, and that was the hardest thing. I used to hide in the closet. How fun is that? Because as soon as he went to sleep, his gun was in his hand and he woke up and thought everybody was gooks.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a guy do that. You know, I had a guy do that on the ship, man. He just slipped out.
Right.
There's like three Vietnamese guys in there fitting the pipe. This guy just went off.
Yeah. It doesn't take much, you know, to trigger, you know, what took place.
Yeah, he heard him talking and shit, and he just freaked out.
And like I said, you know, my stepdad was in a courtroom, very calm. He sat there very calm with a shotgun across his lap. And the judge said, if we get out of this alive, you got your divorce.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want it. You know,
wow.
But how can you live in terror?
Yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, it wasn't his fault. He ended up committing suicide anyway. Was it actually worth it? No. Well, did anybody want to help him? No, they didn't know what to do with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody just sent me a text, but yeah. Just,
okay, what about the man that killed the horse?
Man, it killed what?
It's what Fran wrote.
The horse, man. The horse. The man that killed the horse.
Hey.
Horse head. I'm not in the chat room, so I'm just being sarcastic.
I know.
It wouldn't be part of where I live if I wasn't sarcastic.
Got him to become a little sarcastic, you know. No, I don't know if she was mean. Oh, wild horses. Okay, thanks, Art.
Wild horses.
I was thinking horse. I'm like, what? Did somebody
As
go
in
into a
horse
bottle
of course,
and start
of
killing
course.
People? Oh, my God. Okay. Sorry. Thank you, Art.
What else? Besides that, the guy shot up or hurt.
I mean, for what? It's horses.
What did he do?
He shot up a herd of horses.
Like farm horses? Are we talking wild horses? What kind of horses?
Horses.
Like wild horses?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do with him?
I'd have to look.
Well, you should have done your homework.
That's horrible. No, like I said, guys, I'm sorry. You know, I haven't read much of anything lately. I just got too much going on.
Going
so,
on.
You know,
know,
I'm just implementing with what I'm hearing from you guys. So, you know.
Well, I didn't
Cut
even know
some
about
slack.
Somebody shooting
Cut
up
me
horses.
Some slack.
Right.
What?
No. I didn't even know that somebody shot up horses either. And so I find it appalling. It's just at first I thought it said horse. I'm like, what, did somebody go in a brothel?
Oh, my God.
My bad.
That's funny.
Did you guys, did you say happy birthday to Shirley?
Yes, I did.
Yep.
Okay.
Three times.
Okay.
By phone, on her page,
uh-huh.
on the phone, and in another area.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So what else is going on?
2 more weeks till training camp. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Ooh, yes. Here come the Patriots.
Amen, sister.
hell yeah. Here we go. The fall season. It's a pattern.
Yeah, I'll be going out to training camp.
I
always do every year.
Get some ass pictures, will you?
Oh, I always do. I know.
You know,
nice tight ends.
You guys saw those pictures, right?
Which one?
The ones of the event?
Bill was teasing me. He goes, you know, those are great pictures. But he says, when your back's turned, he says, it's probably when you're smiling.
It wouldn't surprise me not. Like, dude, how long is your ponytail?
If it's not in a ponytail, it's past the middle of my back.
I was dumbfounded when I seen that on your page. I was like, huh? I didn't realize you had hair that long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Messed me
right
up.
Well, it's like the guys, because they never see me without a bandana, they say I'm bald-headed, and I start laughing.
Tell him you super glue the ponytail on, you know? There's nothing under there. No need for you to take it off. That's all.
Oh, no.
I would
hair extension?
Yeah, I would mess with people.
It's a hair extension. I had some random woman come up and touch my hair and thought I had hair extensions. And she's like, that's your real hair. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, my God. I would have been slapping her in the face.
I'd
be like, who you put your hands on?
Megan was like right there, and I'm like, oh, I can't get nasty like I normally would, you know? I'm like, this kid has seen enough of her with me. Oh, my God. She's seen me go at people with it. I can't say. Anyhow.
Yeah, don't ever incriminate yourself.
Remember, I told you, you never say shit on the phone.
I know. But what I mean is, like, I get angry, you know, like anybody else would. It's like, what random person, just because you have long hair, doesn't mean it's hair extensions?
I'm hoping that my one of my bestie friends is listening to us tonight from Bermuda. I told her to call the show. You know,
big shout out to Bermuda.
Yeah.
Might be her. Hold on.
We got a caller
on Skype. Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Hey. Phil.
Art, how you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good.
Good. You want to join this madness?
Yeah, I think you need some backup.
Too many women.
Somebody with a bigger thumb.
Oh my God! See exactly what I said.
See, I know. I'm telling you, and thumbs aren't big.
Oh, you guys. Yeah, you're right, Arne. We need some help with this one.
Art, I didn't know you could call us from Skype. Yay. Are you at
work
or home? I think
I'm
you blessed them too much.
Go ahead, Art.
Yeah. No, I said, yeah, I'm at home tonight. I got the night off. It's a regular thing. No meetings or anything tonight.
Good for
you. That's always cool.
So what'd you make us for dinner?
I didn't. We're actually... The little lady's going out to play with her horse, and she stopped me picking up Chinese.
Ew.
Awesome.
But good for you.
I know. Tomorrow night, I'll barbecue.
Ah, there you go.
That'll be
yeah,
good.
Speaking of which, man, you know, Phil, did you check out the pictures of my beer can chickens, man?
Oh, I did.
When I put
wicked.
Them up. Oh, hello, yeah. On the grill, some good stuff.
Good.
My brother's
my
brother's recipe. You sit that friggin' chicken on the beer can, and you stand it up inside a pan, and you put it on the grill. I mean, you throw different things into it. You know, there's a recipe you need to follow, but yeah, it's basically you cook it on low, rather. You have two burners going and two burners off, you know?
Right.
And you put the pan on the side that the burner's not lit, and you cook it for about 2.5-3 hours. Like, if you use the Purdue chickens, the popper thing, that works, too. It'll pop when it's done. But the cool part about it is, like, the outside of the chicken gets crispy, 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 and the inside stays super moist. It's mad good. Mad good.
Good.
That shit you do for tailgating. Ooh.
Tailgating.
All you need is a little charcoal grill and make sure you've got enough friggin' coals. You can be cooking that damn chicken, you know, a couple hours. You can cook that thing anywhere. That is some good stuff. It never fails, ever, ever, ever.
So, Art, did you have to measure your thumb?
Don't go
no.
there.
No. I checked my thumb out a long time ago.
Really?
Yeah,
why would
one of those things young
that?
Men do as they're growing up.
Oh.
Yeah, I got a funny story, but I'll have to wait till Bill Siri's running late. But, I can't tell that story without him being here.
Oh, it's another one of these things where you're going to put us in suspense, huh?
I am.
No, just telling you. If you've listened to the show, you've heard me say it one time before. But, I don't want to throw him under the bus. He's not here. This is when I throw him under the bus when he's sitting here with me. Because I know he's got a zinger. He's waiting to tell on me.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my God.
I can't wait for this one.
If you're listening to us now, please get to the nearest phone. Call in.
Yes.
I want the dirt.
Yes, we got to hear this because they don't want to put me out there with having somebody's pants. So now I can't wait to hear something. I'm going to take a picture of them out wearing those pants.
Who would have thunk it, right?
I know. I'm going to take a picture of tomorrow and post it up at me inside those pants. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he talked about when talked to Rusty about that, he thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how, like, you know the person who knows the person who talks to the person who has the pants. That's like if anybody ever came up to me and said, hey, I got your pants on eBay from this person who got it from this person. you know, another person, I'd be like, oh my fucking God. Yeah,
can we keep this on the down low?
Yeah.
I don't want my pants out there
everywhere. You know, I mean, the whole thing is just humorous with nature, you know? So,
like I said, I should do that just to see how many comments I get. I'll probably get, like, none. But it would be funny just to see me.
Well, you know, in
those pants.
Oh, no, it's pictures that I took. Emilio. You know.
Oh, those pictures were awesome.
Yeah. But, no. When the photographer walked up.
Did he tell you to smile when he said cheese?
No.
Cheese.
They were more interested.
Count your
they were more interested. Everybody was interested in the shirt I was wearing, including the cops.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a cool shirt, the one with the digits in the back there. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yep.
Yeah.
The penal code or whatever?
Yeah, when we went to take a picture, Rusty always does this to me when we take a picture. Hey, wait a minute. Everything stops, and then he'll put his arm on my shoulder, and the other guy will hug me, and he'll say, okay, we're done. The little guy's in the middle.
So he must be a little guy. He must have counted Phil's thumb.
I'm surprised he doesn't rest his drink on top of your head, Phil.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
we're like a
I mean, people
rest.
People have done that to me. You know, they're like, Pink, I'm like, hey.
I know. It's like,
hey.
We can't help it. We're short.
Wait. All right, you're supposed to be my backup. Where are you at?
I'm here listening to these young ladies talk.
Yeah.
I'm
just visualizing them holding a beer on top of their head.
Well, yeah, because we're short.
I thought that was an amazing image.
Yeah, we'll be your little table. How tall are you, Art? How tall are you?
6 foot.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, my
God, you're a mountain. That's
yeah,
tall.
I'm 5'2".
Anything over 5'5" for me is enormous. I'm like, oh, hello.
Wow, how tall are you?
Well, I'm 5'2".
I know how tall you are. How tall are you, Stacey?
Me? I'm 5'0", man. And, you know, in like 7 years when I hit 50, I'll be 4'11", and then 51, I'll be like 4'10", and then 52. You know, that's it for me, man. I start like shriveling up and dying. It's all done.
You guys are stuck with short women.
That's okay, man. Because I'm a short, Irish, feisty mother, and that's it. My shortness has got me into way too much trouble.
I don't
know,
because the cross between German and Native American isn't the greatest either.
Yeah. I think it's just a thing with short women, man. You've got to hold
our
own.
Yeah, we're just firecrackers.
Yeah.
We have to be. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, what I was going to say was, let's see. I'm going to put this up here right now because we're going to go. This is where we're going to go to right now.
Okay.
This is the link for this. It's in the chat room.
Okay.
And
I'm on my back deck. I'm not in front of the computer.
Okay. Well, no, I'm loading it up right now, but I'll tell you what it is here in a second.
Okay.
This involves the Prime Minister in Australia. And if everybody knows or remembers what I said before, they have the anti-bikey laws. They call bikers bikies over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the anti-association laws, yeah.
Yeah. So the law is aimed at limiting bikies' activities that found an unlikely first target in a country town. A 21-year-old disability pensioner. Okay? I'm gonna play this. This is the link to the video. And once I'm going to let it play while I get the link. for you guys.
Cycle gangs in the past year or so has prompted governments around Australia to introduce tough new laws and expanded police powers. In New South Wales, it's now...
Can you hear that okay?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
...offence to even associate with criminals. Defence lawyers and civil libertarians have warned from the start that the laws are open to abuse and could be used not just against bikies, but against almost anyone.
Now, like I told you guys before about the three of us standing on the corner. Okay, listen up.
Sean Rubenstein Dunlop reports on the first arrest under the new regime.
It's a long way from the gun violence that's rocked the streets of Sydney, but like any town, Inverell in northwestern New South Wales has its fair share of troublemakers.
I've been in three times, and I've done a month every time, so 3 months, jail. I've been to jail 7 times, and each time a valuable lesson's been learned. Before that thing was hard, like assault and a phrase and whatnot. I got some change offered to go down and get a goon bag.
The home to Jack Hayes and his mates, they've been in trouble with the law for violent offences since their early teens.
I'm saying the paddy wagon, it's not just fighting over nothing, mate. It's over ex-girlfriends, drugs, just fighting over who owes who money, just stuff like that.
We've all been hooligans and that.
The mate who's not here is Charlie Foster. The 21-year-old is back in jail for his second time, sentenced a fortnight ago to between 9 and 12 months, talking with his friends.
What is this for?
I believe that we weren't in the wrong. Like, we weren't doing anything wrong down the street, but do our shopping and pay our rent. If we don't do that, we won't have anywhere to live.
And convicted under New South Wales new consorting laws introduced to stop the bikey wars.
It takes in the bath.
Charlie Foster's mum, Tricia, says he's always done it tough. He was born with an intellectual disability.
He can't read, and because he can't read, he can't write. He can write his name and stuff. Or do I stop somebody with disease too? Father was an alcoholic. His father would be at the pub, and Charlie would be outside the pub for his father. And he met up with the wrong kids, and he started to cut school and...
At 13, he had his first brush with the law, and he picked up a drug habit. First, it was marijuana, later speed and prescription drugs, including the opioid known as hillbilly heroin.
Well, he will use anything he can get his hands on.
At 18, Charlie Foster was convicted of having sex with a 15-year-old girl. Later, it was driving on drugs, assault, and a 12-month jail term. He got out 10 months ago and moved in with his best mate, Jack Hayes. Jack had been in jail too.
Me and Charlie have had one affray together, I think, and that's literally the only charge me and Charlie's had together. But we haven't been charged together for anything else.
It was in April that Jack Hayes and his mates found themselves targeted by the new laws.
As soon as I've seen the paddy wagon, I've said to Charlie, here comes the filth. Charlie said, just put your head down, take no notice. Just kept walking. They pulled up beside us and told us to stop walking. They told us that they gave us a warning a few days before that.
They were picked up 4 times over 2 months.
We couldn't do anything. We couldn't do nothing. Couldn't even go down and pay our bills. They're literally saying that there was only one way that we could still talk to each other without being charged or locked up.
Another mate, Damien Case, offered Charlie an alternative place to stay. At age 23, Damien's been in jail 7 times. He was targeted too.
Having the police rock up to my door and giving us warnings for consorting him. You know, that sort of stuff's not on. I feel as though that's intimidating and that's threatening behaviour.
Charlie Foster's lawyer says he had no option but to plead guilty when he was charged last month with consorting with his 3 friends.
I was very surprised that he was charged with those offences. But, I mean, when you look at the legislation,
legislation. I mean, it fitted the legislation, the way it was handled.
I can't believe it. I still can't. You know, like 12 months for talking to your friends. You know, these kids were friends long before they ever had gone to jail and served any time. You know why? Because they have all been to jail. Do they have to stop being friends? You know, that's crazy.
The lawyer who acts for the biker gangs has offered to represent Charlie Foster for free and has lodged an appeal against his conviction. After successful high court challenges against previous anti-bikey laws, Wayne Baskey is hoping for another win.
Not because you've done anything wrong. And this is the very thing the police said they wouldn't do, and they're doing it. I don't understand why people aren't jumping up and down and screaming about this. It isn't right. It's going against what the police said they were going to use the act for. And now we see the truth of that. Everybody's at risk, and everybody's at risk before they've even tried to deal with outlaw motorcycle club members.
Charlie Foster's mates are afraid they'll be the next to be charged.
I've got a baby on the way, so I'm going to change my ways for my kid when it's born. She's a girl, she's due in 2 months. And I'm going to use this to give up the alcohol, hopefully, and change my life. And hopefully never go back, because my kid and missus is going to need me around. You know, they don't need me sitting in jail.
I don't know what it does to him. I can't begin to imagine. He says it does his head in, sitting in a room, and there's nothing to do, and, you know, all you can do is think about stuff, so...
And the New South Wales government and police declined to comment on that story because an appeal is underway.
See? Nobody wants to comment. They're just using it as a blanket law to fuck everybody.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense. You know? It's like, all right, we're at Biggs. Me, you, and Bill are talking, and somebody doesn't like the way we look. Boom. That's how it starts.
Yep. That's it.
You know, like you, Nora, you could be standing on your porch with two friends. They drive by, you're jammed up. Same thing with you, Stacy.
I know.
Oh, I know it. We all know people that have done something and changed their lives, but the shit you've done is never forgotten about.
Nope. It absolutely.
Okay,
isn't.
What about ones of us that have never done anything?
Okay, you're an exception to the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, if you haven't done anything and you hang around with two people that have, you're now guilty.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how they get you because...
Yeah,
they
but isn't
put
that
the,
crazy?
Put, yeah, but the thing is like, they would put the pressure on you to spill over on them, you know?
Right.
That's how they do that stuff, and it's friggin' ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
You know, I got this other thing coming out of Australia.
Can you say?
But this is going to be the most honest 3.5 minutes of television ever. So I'm gonna play this. I got something I'm gonna do. I'm gonna play this while it's playing. I'm gonna take care of that and I'll be right back. But
okay.
This is called the most honest 3 minutes on television. I just posted it in the chat room, and I'll let it roll right now. I'll be right back.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Look, freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way. Well, why is
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about
fine. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose a goddamn always?
Hey.
And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom.
The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories: number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite? Right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured disease, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. Acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. Solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore. Enough? Why is America not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose a goddamn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories: number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite? For what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured disease, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Yep. Anybody want to comment on that?
Nah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just saying, it's amazing how with the way things are now, and they're stressing, instead of educating the kids, they're indoctrinating them, how far behind we're falling in the world because of that.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Because, you know, it's like, this is that's from a new show on HBO, which I really don't like to give plugs, but I will on this one, because they have another video. And it premiered at the end of June on a Sunday. And first episode, basically, it told the story of several journalists with a passion to speak the truth to power and desire to bring forth a branch of power back into American television. So, how the truths about journalism are expressed in this show and more honest than what America's seen here on real TV. So, I'm going to play this. This is an attack on pro-regime news channels.
I'm Mo McAvoy. This is Newsnight.
Slapping the face of mainstream American journalism.
I'm a leader in an industry that piped up terror scares and failed to report on tectonic shifts in our country.
Speaking truth to power.
When you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the you're talking about.
The fourth branch of power is finally back, hitting America's screens in a TV show called The Newsroom, not in reality.
A lot of countries do things better than the United States, but we can't even have that discussion because you're shouted down as unpatriotic.
Brutal truths on what journalism should really be about.
In the old days, we did the news well. You know how? We just decided to.
The passion to question the status quo and the fear-mongering of real broadcasting.
Not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslim.
We weren't attacked by Muslims. We were attacked by sociopaths.
Examples of absurdity taken to an extreme on TV news.
What state, what city, what county is in danger of falling under Sharia law?
As viewership on real mainstream media plummets, the show adds insult to injury by portraying common news show behavior.
Threatening the fabric of society.
You will not interrupt me again, sir!
Amid critical reviews, a TV show about the news, more honest than real news.
Show business is doing a better job than the news business in presenting news. It's a complete flip around.
A lot of reporters, producers, news anchors who look at this show should be blushing. Should be thinking, they got us here.
What are they?
If you try and do in the purest sense what your character does in this show, it doesn't rate.
When a fictional anchor fights for substance on the news, what happens?
The human interest story. Obesity, breast cancer, older women having babies. He was great at that shit.
He's resisted by the system. In real American mainstream newsrooms, this straightforwardness is a myth.
Nobody really likes to bite the hand that feeds them.
I feel like I'm at the office. Here are the nominees.
Instead, infotainment is king.
There's a deliberate effort here, you know, basically to say, truth be damned. We have to do what we have to do to get audience. It seems to take years before a truth catches up with news.
Until then, there's no room for real news in U.S. newsrooms.
You've got way too much crap focused on just vapid stuff like reality television, what happened on Jersey Shore.
You want to take me away from doing the news in 3D.
The mainstream
mainstream media today focuses on pitch and spin, not angering corporate owners or challenging the system. Uncomfortable issues, opinions deemed politically incorrect, or the questioning of long-held beliefs about America, it seems, are best left to TV drama. I'm Stacey Churkina, Archie, New York.
Because just like this one here basically tells about what they do. Called Media Wars.
Here at RT, our motto is question more. And what this means more than anything is to critically think about what you're being told by the mainstream. RT offers a different perspective than the MSN. It tends to host more adversarial journalism, dare I say, tapping into the roots of what real journalism should be. People all over the world are tuning in because they want to see real reporting done about America's domestic and foreign policy. According to a recent study, RT leads all other channels in the level of people watching daily in Canada. But the channel's growing popularity hasn't come without controversy.
RT is the state-run English-speaking Russian channel. It's kind of like Al Jazeera.
The Kremlin already controls domestic television. Now it's going after the international audience to repair a national image tarnished by war, corruption, and assaults on democracy.
Under Vladimir Putin, freedom of the press was stifled as Kremlin-approved oligarchs bought up media outlets one after another. And none of those channels, including RT, was about that feeds them.
Now a lot of people will say, yeah, RT does have spin because it's government-sponsored. Well, let's examine the premise at work here. Ben Greenwald wrote an article that sums it up pretty nicely, shining a light on the people and money behind the scenes. He asks, is there a rule that says it's perfectly okay for a journalist to work for a media outlet owned and controlled by a weapons manufacturer like NBC or MSNBC, or owned by the U.S. and British governments like the BBC, Stars and Stripes, as well as the Voice of America? Or how about owned by Rupert Murdoch and a Saudi prince, a.k.a. the benefactors of the Wall Street Journal and the so-called fair and balanced journalistic stylings of Fox News? Or what about the banking corporation with long-standing ties to right-wing governments that fund Politico? How about for-profit corporations whose profits depend upon staying in the good graces of the U.S. government? Or what about loyalists to one of the two major political parties in the U.S.? But it's apparently a violation of journalistic integrity to run a Russian media outlet. Where did that rule come from? Remember, RT didn't sit on the Bush wiretapping story for a year or disseminate government propaganda aiding this country into an illegal and immoral war. That was the New York Times. Now, I work at the station because I care about the future of this country and where we're headed as a people. I don't think that we can make the best decisions or govern ourselves if we're not an informed citizenry. We need to vote with our best interests. I've seen the corporate media model fail time and time again when they cater to the establishment. And I'm honored to be given a platform with zero censorship or any sort of person from the top telling me what I can and can't say here. It's all coming from my heart. And I live by the motto of this network, and I hope that you do too. To always, always question and question more.
Yep. Anybody got any questions?
That was pretty cool, though.
Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm
right here.
I'm just... sorry about that.
It got too quiet.
And this misguided...
Here's another one.
These wars and this misguided foreign policy, in my opinion, is a symptom of us all going a little crazy back in 2000, starting with the Republican Party. Let me just share let me just share some thoughts on this with you, if I may. This is, war is hell. And, in fact, let's go to that whole notion. Not only is war hell, but the notion of evil. We historically in the United States, maybe George W. Bush and the Republicans, just for a moment, let's just imagine that possibly they actually went to the dark side. Historically, this five-pointed star was man, right?
It meant man. It's a good thing. And if you flip it upside down, the upside down five-pointed star with the goat with his chin, 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 and his ears and his horns was the sign of Satan worshippers, the satanic star. Now, you can see on the American flag, our stars are right side up. All across America, you'll see symbols with five-pointed stars. The stars are right side up, the man stars. But around the year 2000, the Republican Party changed their logo from the stars being right side up to the stars being upside down, coincided with the coming on the scene of George W. Bush and Karl Rove. Very strange. I think they need an exorcism. Let's exercise it. Here's the exorcism. Number one, end the Bush tax cuts. Number two, end the Bush wars. End the crazy notion that corporations are people and that money is speech and that the rich can buy our nation. If we did that, we might bring the Republican Party sanity to its Dwight Eisenhower roots, back to the days when they actually could have an opposite opinion from the Democrats, but honestly broker solutions and situations and have reasonable conversations. Exorcisms for the Republican Party. Good idea.
Yep, I think so.
Interesting.
It is.
What was that? What? I didn't hear what the third person said. It just came across almost like a grumble. I was like, oh, what was that? I think that was our grumbling in his tummy. Okay.
But now I just got a request. I'm gonna play this. I'll be right back.
What would you do if everyone you knew turned their back on you for something that wasn't true and point their fingers at you for something you didn't even do? Something that didn't even have anything to do with you. When deep inside you always knew the hard, cold truth. The ones who claimed to be your friends were never, ever really down with you till the end. But now you know just what is true. The bullshit and the lies you can see right through. Because the truth in your eyes speaks to the deepest part of you. Because deep inside you always knew that this facade ain't nothing new. That all the jealousy, hatred, and lies, that the truth about themselves is what they really despise. They dream your fall will help them to rise, but it's only the truth they really despise. Only shame on you for acting surprised, because in the end, the truth will ultimately be their demise. Because their eyes are blinded by the darkness of their own lies. Ignorance and fear hides behind the guise of acting wise. But the truth can set you free. Because there is no justice and there is no peace. Accused by your peers, sentenced by your fears, condemnation beyond comprehension. Because there is no justice and there is no redemption.
was Etiquette 7. The guy singing was Evan Seinfeld. That's Rusty's new band. That's one of his songs off the album The Blood of My Enemies that's going to drop on July 31st, which I happen to be one of the few that has advanced copy and allowed to play the songs ahead of time. So just wanted to share that one with everybody.
I can never get sick of the beginning of that song, ever.
No. Because we've all had that situation.
Yeah, it just, like, everything it says is just, you know, politically correct all the way around.
Right there. Let's see. I got another one I want to talk about. Does anybody know what Title 18, USC 18 is?
No.
What is?
U.S. Title 18. United States Code. Title 18.
Spell it.
I'm trying to have...
Fran's got 16 so far.
Huh?
Fran has 16 so far.
Yours has 16 what?
No, I said Fran has 16 so far, she said.
16 what?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
She says I have 16
so far.
She's talking about patches.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Armbands. for the protest at the LA Calendar Show, which will be on the 22nd. And Fran,
okay.
I haven't got a return call to find out how many we're going to need, but I'll take care of that for you.
I'm sorry. I'm Blonde. Nice to meet you. Bernard is coming back.
don't quit your day job.
My brownies.
Yeah, don't quit your
day job. No, I just need to share my brownies.
Well, you
should have got my cookies today, but you should have them out. So you need to let me know when the yellow.
Yeah, I will. I'll let you know. But this is who Title 18 protects: officers,
okay,
and law enforcement. Okay. Title 18, Section 111 prohibits assaulting, resisting, or impeding officers, employees, and law enforcement explorers of the United States while engaged in or an account of the performance of official duties in the assault or intimidation of any person who formerly served as an officer or employee of the United States on account of performance of official duties during such person's time of service. As well as these entities are protected by Title 18, foreign officials, official guests, and internationally protected persons. Side note, exactly who the hell are these three internationally protected persons? I don't know who they are. Section 112 is section of foreign officials, official guests, and internationally protected persons. It prohibits assaulting or causing harm to a foreign official, an official guest, or an internationally protected person, or any other violent attack upon the person or liberty of such person. Now, does anyone, after what I just read, see citizens being listed in these statutes as being protected under Title 18? Nope. Title 18 protected entities being protected from exactly who was this law enacted against? We have laws enacted against thieves. We have laws enacted against rapists. We have laws enacted against thugs. We have laws enacted against murderers. So who are these laws enacted against? The answer, American citizens.
Well, of course, we're a new terrorist.
Well, question, if you're not allowed to, you know,
question everything.
Get into it with a so-called power of authority, then how could, what was it, the state of Indiana pass, what was it, a law? That
yeah, in regards
you,
to
you
shooting
could,
an officer.
You could shoot a cop. So how does
mm-hmm.
that work?
Exactly.
How come it's okay in one state and not in the others?
That's true, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're saying that, you know, everything's protected. I don't feel protected except for myself. In fact, what's mine? Because nobody else is going to do it for me.
Yeah. I never felt protected.
They'll make an attempt, but 9 out of 10 ain't going to follow through all the way.
Right.
You know, like I always say, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Well, maybe some people like to bend over.
Oh.
Sorry. No, I wasn't meaning that at film. I was just saying that in general. Maybe some people like to bend over. No, I'm serious. Because he always says that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, there are some people that will just keep on bending and touching their toes. They're not spelling run. You know, but they're doing it, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like this, too, that it's wrong to tax a working person almost to the breaking point and then give it to a person who's able to work but refuses to.
Exactly. I find that ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, you know, for people that are supposed to protect and serve, now they have to be concerned, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I hear a siren coming. I'm going to be in trouble now.
The what now?
I said I hear sirens coming. I'm going to be in trouble now.
Yeah.
They're finally coming to take you away, huh, Nora?
Yeah.
I thought they were coming tonight. I was cleaning my 45-inch out of hole through the cabinet.
Nice.
A little trigger happy, are we?
No safety on that? What the hell? Dude, you could have blew off like your big toe, you know?
His medical card is over exceeding. The ability.
Don't be a hater.
I wasn't hating.
Okay.
I don't hate on it. Just because I don't do it doesn't mean I hate on it. I don't like it when people abuse it, you know, because it's a need for people that need it, not to sit there and abuse it, you know.
Who's abusing what? I'm lost. What did I miss?
The medical card that they have in California for medical marijuana.
Shit. You know what? I'm sorry. But you know what? I think if everybody in America lit up a fucking joint and chilled the fuck out, we'd have a calm society. That's just the way I feel. People are just way too stressed out for me, honestly. It's like, you know, as soon as you drive into a big city, all of a sudden you feel tension. It's like, you know, people just need to chill. If everybody chilled out, we'd all get along. Yeah, peace and love and all that shit.
I had a guy yesterday when I was coming home. He seen me coming, and the fucker turned in front of me anyway.
Mm.
And then he hugged the line, so I couldn't go past. But the guy in the next saw that he's trying to trap me, and he moved over and let me go through, and. I think that guy's gonna spend about $375 to $450 for a new mirror on the passenger door.
Oof.
Well, my handlebar happened to clip it. It wasn't my fault.
You're lucky you didn't get hurt. No shit.
Yeah. Well, summer's here. In
summer's always there in California. Your winter is like not even winter.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, what I got a shirt that was given to me the other day. I haven't had a chance to put it on yet, but I just haven't figured out how I'm going to do it, because the back of it says, "Punk, if you've never seen someone shoot from a motorcycle."
Yeah. That's cool.
So, Art, how about some MMA updates, Art?
Oh, well, we've still got those two bills, the transponder and the motorcycle safety bills. They're sitting on the governor's desk,
mm-hmm.
waiting for him to either sign them or throw them away, but they're there.
And this is in California?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We're trying to outlaw motorcycle-only checkpoints.
Oh, that stuff just needs to stop, man.
Yeah.
That's some, you know, you guys get a lot of that out there. I mean, like I said, you know, the surrounding towns that I live in, they don't do that stuff, you know. I mean, for different events they do, but you guys just get, like, nailed every which way you can.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you enjoy riding with all that stuff going on?
Yeah.
Oh, trust me, there's nothing a full tank of gas won't cure. That's
yeah.
why that wheel goes right and left, and the throttle twists. Down.
Yeah. You know, and we were talking to Joey Lester. I guess the case in New York where they're taking that to court, that's still proceeding, so we're waiting on that.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 22nd, we're doing that protest up in L.A., up in Calabasas.
Right.
And
Bill and I are going to go to that.
I'm still waiting for some word.
Is that that show that we were talking about weeks ago?
Yeah. Go ahead, Art.
Yeah. I'm still waiting on SWAT to give me some more information. She went down yesterday. She drove her car down to get some scouting information to see what's around there. So
yeah,
hopefully we'll get...
Yeah, because if those guys decide that, you know, it gets too big, they're gonna try and disperse the crowd.
Yeah.
Under threat of being arrested and shit. But just, yeah, go on.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I don't know if she told you. She went to the Calabasas City Council.
Yes.
And she was asking them about the rules and what they needed to do for permits.
They don't have any.
And they have none. They were stupefied. They didn't know what to make of it. And I guess she's like, well, we're coming. So, and
yeah.
It's going to be a real interesting day. See what happens.
I think that their police department is already putting in for overtime.
Huh.
Yeah, so instead of going to Sacramento for the MMA board of directors meeting, I'm going to be going up to Calabasas. I think that's more important at this point in time.
Yeah, because the other thing that I received today from Mark, one of my Bolt brothers, was it's time to mount up and ride to the sound of the guns. In California, Section 27 is the San Fernando Valley area, but it covers Simi Valley, Thousand Oaks, Malibu, and the western half of San Fernando. And what it is Todd Zink is running against incumbent Senator Fran Pavley for the state Senate, and it's a very close race. This kind of race we can gain political ground with. Pavley is the one in California senator who's responsible for trying to fucking make us. She couldn't get it in there, but I know within the next 5 years, Bill and I would talk about this, we're going to have to smog our motorcycles. But she passed Senate Bill 435 passed into law. It's the worst motorcycle legislation since the helmet law. Either Zink wins in November or we'll get 4 more years with Pavley, who already screwed us with SB 435. She gets another 4 years, she's going to try and do the fucking smog thing. But now it's payback time, and I want everybody that lives in those areas, because I already sent out a bunch of everybody I know that lives up there, I sent them this. Because let's do what we can do to get Pavley out. Like, Dick Floyd was the guy that fucked everybody with the helmet law, and he was a one-term guy. So Todd Zink is now seeking volunteers. I'll put this link in the chat room if you guys want to check it out. You can go to this guy. You can go to... His website.
Yeah, if Pavley had her way, there'd be no motorcycles on the road.
Fuck no.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, now, what is it going to take, if you don't mind me asking, to stop the checkpoints, to get it to where you guys can open ride like you can here? Will it ever change to that? or
Senate? Right now it's gone through the Senate and the Assembly.
Okay.
And now it's sitting on the governor's desk. So he's got to sign it or let it die.
Right.
But it's on his desk. It's gone through all the procedures. Now it's up to him. So we're trying to get people to send emails, phone calls, faxes, and there's actually a state call to action out on that for both bills to try to get it flooded up there to let them know we're not happy.
Right.
Kind of like that Yahoo back in Wisconsin from that brain tumor place or that the one that says motorcyclists without helmets that get hit should be left on the side of the road.
Right.
And,
I guess
they're flooding those guys too.
Yeah.
So they're trying to tie up all their communications going into that building and
right.
let them know that there's a lot of unhappy people.
Right.
Because let me see if I can find that here. I had it earlier.
If you're on Facebook, it should be in the Abate page.
Okay. Well, I got Abate members on mine. But not in I got Rebel. She's in California, right?
Yeah.
He should be.
Yeah. So it should be on her page then. I can check.
Well, it's also inside. It's also on the blog. I'm just trying to pull it up right now.
Okay. You're running a little slow there?
No, I'm actually trying to keep some assholes who want to fuck with this.
Well, I always tell you, don't bring your pets, and you do. Does that mean if ever you visit out with your family here, and we ever meet, I'm going to see your pets?
The what?
What it is the Brain Injury Association of Michigan, not Wisconsin, Art. I'm gonna put that in there right now. And I think the guy's name was Dobbs for Dabs, D-A-B-B-S.
Okay.
And I got one thing. Hold on, let me get the other one here. It's not showing the phone number on this one. Let me see if I can find it on the other one. But on the association or the motorcycle profiling bill, you know, they keep saying we're not doing that. But I seen it the other day.
Of course they are.
You know? No. Where I went last Sunday up north,
mm-hmm.
and we were riding, and they grabbed the guys in the back because they didn't know who they were.
Yeah, that's messed up. That's messed up big time.
The guy even said, the guy asked me, he said, why'd you pull us over? So we didn't know who you were. Now we do.
Are you kidding me?
No. Anytime we go to a club function over here, that shit happens. Every time.
That is so messed up, that whole deal. That's messed up. They make you show ID and everything?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, usually I fuck with them. But,
I would, too.
No, when they ask me, you know, let me see your license, registration, proof of insurance. Well, I think you already know who I am, so I'll just give you my registration and my proof of insurance. Well, no, I asked you for your license. Well, I'm not giving it to you. I don't have to. I have one. You know it. You know it's good because you already checked it on the computer. You just wanted to see if I'm carrying the right paperwork.
Hmm. That's so much.
Yeah, they have paperwork in order to have a radio show online.
I'm sorry?
You have to have paperwork in order to have a radio show online?
No, you just have to know how to keep these fuckers off and on their at bay. You know, because it's like guys already know I speak my mind, so deal with it.
Okay, so if anybody wanted to start their own radio show, they're going to be on those shows, whether if it's good, bad, or indifferent?
Yeah.
Wow.
As you guys know, there's not too many shows like doing this. I mean, I found out that Block Talk is taking some of my numbers because of the people that listen to the show. And,
right.
And they do the same. They're doing the same thing to Hermes.
I don't. That's a dead show anymore. Wow, I was like shocked.
What do you mean it's a dead show? Because everybody.
Oh no! What I mean is because there's not like a lot of people. Or, I don't know. That's the first time I've been there in a long time. So.
No, there's. Trust me, there's a lot of people there.
Okay.
He has the same problem that I have. I mean, I'll tell you right now, okay, for the month of June, okay, we had, just people listening to the show, we had 1,047,667 people the month of June listening to the shows, just for the month of June. And tonight, right now, there's according to this here, there's 104,940 people listening from around the world right now.
Wow.
I mean, right now we've got New Zealand, the United Kingdom, Russia, Germany, Australia, Canada, France, the Ukraine, Spain, Latvia.
A what?
Yeah. Mark, Brazil, it's all over. One guy from China, who if he gets caught, he's fucked.
I know.
But hold on a sec. Hello, Fran.
Well, good evening to you.
When hi,
you
Fran.
Hey, good evening. And I believe that we also have a birthday person, too. Happy birthday. Real quick, when you were talking about check-only points, that was actually in my hometown, Dutchess County, New York. And because it was my hometown, John and I actually sent to the Abate affiliation there a check and a membership to their Abate so to support them in that fight. Now, for Sunday the 22nd, I do have 16 armbands that will actually be like a tie, which is going to be, you know, long. But what I'm having on there is I'm writing the words patch or patches, if I can get the whole thing on, colors and freedom. And then what I'm going to do is take a red color and put X's through those. So it's going to be a black armband that's long that has the words on it and the, you know, that symbol that means no.
circle with a line? You're talking about circle with a line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, anyone who goes cannot bring any stick that is over 3 feet. So what's actually best is not to bring any sticks at all. Most ordinances have a clear zone, and this is for the state, and I believe it's 150 feet from whatever it is. So at that point, what we should do is measure off 150 feet, and that should be where the first bike parks from that point down, and then we walk up and hold up whatever we're going to do. Because then if they say, well, no, you have to be 150 feet, well, we will already have had that marker and move down to that spot.
Right. So, but those are automatics. No sticks more than 3 feet. They may even try and
Can I ask why you need a stick? Or are you going to use your cane?
So I was thinking of bringing my crutches, but if you have a walking stick because you have a bad limp, I'm sure they can't say no to you for having your walking stick.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot have anything on a stick that is bigger than 3 feet. Now, which is kind of stupid because 3 feet, I can kill somebody and hurt somebody with a 3 foot stick as I can with a 6 foot. I mean, 6 foot is just that I killed them a little further away from me. Like I said, if I really wanted to kill somebody, I'll just use a pencil. I mean, it just is easy. So some of the ordinances that they have put in are pretty stupid. I'm just trying to be kind tonight. But that is kind of standard rule. If they do go and check, that is a standard, I believe it's 150, 3 foot, and adi-adi, that type of thing. So that's a start. I don't know what else we talked about tonight. But
we talked about Prudential Insurance screwing over the vets on their VGLI. We touched on
my feeling for the VA hospital is this. When we go at Christmas time to spend time with our members in the hospital, when we have to provide them with soap and essentials, that's pretty sad.
Yeah. No, I agree.
There is no military person that's in hospital that should want for toothpaste, a toothbrush, or deodorant, shampoo. I'm sorry. That to me is so degrading.
Yeah.
That's the essentials of clean hygiene. But yes, our men and ladies that are in the VA hospital are not always given those products. When we have those products left over, then we usually do leave them there, and we do hope that they are dispensed to those that come in that don't have those items. Unfortunately, if they're there during Christmas, that's usually not a good sign either.
No.
That's another thing. I remember he was younger than I was, let's put it that way. And I have nothing against religious groups. But this old cuss, he looked at this Bible thumper, and he says, "You know what, young man? You see these bikers? At least these bikers are doing something for me and not just giving me lip service. I've already had the lip service. That's why I'm here." And I was like, okay. And again, you know, everybody has a right to what they believe and so forth. Just don't push it on me and those around me unless we ask. I mean, that's just the way I feel. But, hey, okay, you know, that's cool. But oftentimes people do forget that those military people that are in the hospital, it is not a hospital because it was had things for them. Then we wouldn't have to bring them such items for good hygiene.
Absolutely correct.
I mean, you know how I feel about wheelchairs and all that. I mean, you have to justify. You don't have two legs, so you have to justify why you need a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I would think not having two legs would be justification enough. But yeah, there are certain things that I'm a little ornery on, and that's, I think our military people, mm-hmm. men and women, deserve better than they're getting. There was a time when a military person only did one, sometimes two tours. And if they came home at two tours, it was, you know, praise God that the person came home alive. But now we have had people going back three and four. And
I got my son. Go on, I know a guy. Go on, I know a guy. Seven times already.
Seven. Why is he going back seven times?
Exactly.
And then they want to know why, when they come home, that, you know, they're shell shock and all that. Some night you're going to have to actually play, God, what's his name? And he does a play on words, and he says, what's wrong with calling someone a cripple? At least when you called somebody a cripple, you knew what you're talking about.
Right.
Now it's and it's one of those things where, you know something? What is wrong with using words that describe clearly what it is? Are you ashamed of those words? Are you ashamed of saying that someone is wheelchair bound or that someone is short? Or, you know, mm-hmm. we have gone so far to dance around vocabulary that nobody really knows what you're even talking about anymore.
Right.
So have we done a service, or at this point, are we doing a disservice? You know, vertically challenged. Okay, so does that mean that he has trouble standing up? Or is it... So what do you mean by it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
George Carlin, that's it. You're going to actually have to play parts of George Carlin when he talks about the military. Well, there's a piece where he talks about the military and shell shock, and he rattles off some vocabulary that is now more appropriate to use than shell shock. And like I said, when you get to a point where you're no longer using vocabulary that the people out there understand,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going back to, if it's more politically correct, great. But if people don't understand what you're talking about, have you done anybody any justice?
Yeah. Well, okay, here. I found George Carlin on his time in the military. George Carlin, We Like War. Or George Carlin on the military. I think this is... Let me pop that up real quick. Here we go.
I want to know what you think, America. Give me a call at 1-800-522-8673. Tonight's guests served both in the U.S. Armed Forces and as a role model and mentor to an entire generation of comedians. His new book is called Brain Droppings. Please welcome George Carlin. George.
Drop some bombs, fly home, take a shower, and go out dancing. Airport Country Club.
I not only did I serve, but I was actually killed in combat. And I got out early. I beat him. I screwed him. I fucked him out of a year. It's a four-year hitch they're supposed to have, and then 4 years in the reserve. I got the... by the way, I'd like to point out the dishonorable discharge does not inform you as to which party was dishonorable, okay? I have my version of this. I'm exaggerating. I didn't get a dishonorable. I got the same discharge Kelly Flynn got, but not for humping.
The same guy?
No. And not even for humping. Hey, if I had known in 1957 you could get discharged for humping, hey, I'd have been out a lot quicker. But I got a general discharge under honorable conditions. I had three court-martials. My stripes, I went from, you come in as a basic. I went from no stripes to one, to none, to one, to two, to one, to two, to one, to none, and then they let me go. That was my trick. Yeah.
I think they call that trench warfare.
Yeah.
You move a little ahead, fall back a little.
Yes. They kept telling me to get snaps on those chevrons, Carly. But
it must have been everything you had to not question every...
Oh, yeah.
The bullshit admonition they gave you. I can't imagine you
in
that setting.
I'm going to tell you the three charges for the three different court-martials. Insubordination, of course. disobeying a lawful order, and falling asleep on guard duty. And my brother, God bless him, I patterned myself after my brother, he got a court-martial for inciting federal troops to riot. He talked all the radar guys into going over the chow line and beating the shit out of the cooks. So he had his way, I had my way.
So the Carlin boys, there was a precedent there for you when you came in.
A lot of paperwork under that CARLIN. A lot of paperwork.
Now, that's your specific experience. What would you say in the overview about the concept of war? I mean, it seems
war.
So, just...
Well, first of all, it is great theater. It's great entertainment. I mean, they don't call it the theater of war. For nothing, the European Theater, the Pacific Theater. I know, it's a show. And I'm here for the show. I figured that out a long time ago. You know, philosophers say, why are we here? What is this all about? I'm here for the entertainment. I like the idea of a lot of people dying. I can't help it. It's just something I just haven't, I really mean that. It's not a comic exaggeration or anything. When I turn on the news, when they say breaking news, I'm hoping it's not some bill that got passed. I'm hoping it's a huge explosion somewhere. A lot of dead people. I just love it. And war is great. War is great because it just goes on and on. They're never going to learn. And I blame the soldiers. You know, a lot of people blame the politicians. I blame these soldiers who keep showing up. Assholes, since the Turks, the Russia, the Greeks, everybody. You know, okay, I'll be there. Testosterone. Not smart. No wonder they say, you want an education? Come in here. They need an education. They're not that
smart. George, now you think that all those are young boys who are just in kind of fearful for, what do you need?
Getting dry here.
Is that not comic exaggeration? I can't believe you think that. Well, how many of the kids in our armed forces are kids who are buffaloed by a system? They don't have the education or the money to fight that system, and they're just kind of ramrodded overseas into these piss holes to defend old white men's concepts that don't mean anything.
Defend white men's private property, protecting older people's property. No, I understand that, but you said overview a little earlier, and overview to me means the whole deal. And I just think if they never showed up, what would these people do? What would the statesmen and the politicians do? They'd have to have fist fights or something. I mean, why do they just keep going back? They keep going, we'll be there, it's fun, we'll kill the guy and everything.
But you got to watch Brager Morant or Paths of Glory and you see what happens to these poor slobs who don't show up.
Yeah.
They're put in front of a firing squad, for Christ's sake.
Yeah,
at least over there, you're running around in the jungle, you got half a chance, you know.
I'm suggesting there is an alternative, although it's probably not doable. It's a macro idea. The idea is, fuck these people, don't go. Nobody goes. If nobody goes, they're going to kill them all? They're going to have trials for every single person? No. I'm just living in a different kind of world. I don't buy into all the premises that go into this system. I have pulled myself away a long time ago. It's probably about 10 years.
Existential view.
When I finally decided, fuck these people, these humans. Let them do their thing. I'll watch. It's fun. I'm out here. I have no stake in the outcome.
I don't care what happens to you. I don't care what happens to your country. I don't care what happens to your species. You can go get fucked. Because it's fun to watch you destroy each other. It's entertaining.
You got any dates you want to push?
You know what's really nice about the public? They sit there and they go, he doesn't mean us, honey.
When you go to texting, okay, LOL, lots of love,
No, not quite. Master? Maybe. So it's like, once you learn the lingo, hey, it's not too bad, but how many people know the lingo?
Right.
You're running into these kind of issues. Hey, it's not bad if you have a code. I mean, that's how we basically won the war. If it hadn't been for the Indians and their code, we would not have been here today.
That's true.
So what was sad is, I don't know how many people knew, but there were actually soldiers that were with each member. And if they were going to be captured, their job was actually to shoot the Indians.
Yeah.
I don't know if people knew that. Yeah, I mean, that's because they didn't want code talkers. That's what they were, the code talkers. And so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where we're at. You know, we've gotten to that point where we don't want anybody to know what we're really saying.
Right.
I don't know. But unfortunately, I do have to check out or hang up or say goodnight.
Yeah, I'm gonna let... I'll find that for you for Tuesday, and I'm gonna let a little Led Zeppelin take us out with a little Cashmere.
Okay.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thanks, Art.
Shh.
Stacey.
Good night.
Everybody listening around the world, and this one's for you.